Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just letting a few more people come in to the call and then we'll get started. Hi, my name is Lynn Monahan. I'm the Manager of Education and Events for Leading Age Massachusetts. I want to welcome members from Leading Age Massachusetts, as well as Leading Age Connecticut, Leading Age Maine, New Hampshire, and Leading Age Rhode Island. We are happy to welcome you here today for a webinar with Jack York, president and co-founder of It's Never Too Late, or better known as IN2L. So before I turn it over to Jack, I'm gonna just go through a couple of quick Zoom items that we are gonna use in today's webinar. So we will be using the chat function, which you will find on the bottom toolbar of your screen if you are on a computer. And we ask that you put your question and comments in the chat box. There are a few of us on this call who will be monitoring those, and we'll make sure that we get to as many of the questions as possible throughout the call. The default for being on this call is to be muted. So if we do come to a point where we're able to have time for questions, you will need to unmute yourself, and you go do that on your computer by clicking the microphone icon. And if you are on the phone, you'll need to press *6 to unmute yourself. And we do ask that if you unmute yourself, that you remute yourself after you've asked your question to reduce the background noise. And finally, I just wanted to let everybody know that this session is being recorded. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Jack York.
All right. Thanks, Lynn. And thanks, Lynn, specifically, when we do these multi-state webinars, there's lots of choreography to do, and you jumped in and took the lead for all the states, so thanks for doing that. I'm excited to talk about kind of just the whole, just engagement in general, some of the things that were happening. It's kind of a, you know, to be honest, it's kind of a light presentation emotionally relative to what a lot of you are going through. So before I get into that, I did want to just make a quick comment that it's just incredible all the work that people have been doing over the last 4 months. It's heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time to see what everybody's dealing with. And I think that some of the things that I'm going to be talking about today are silver linings in the middle of all that, but in the midst of talking about this positive thing, about all these positive things, I don't want to just forget to acknowledge that we know how tough it's been. And so thanks for all the work that you do, and thanks for being here. I'm going to turn my video off. You don't need to see my mug right now. Oh, by the way, excuse me, it is my birthday today. And Alyssa, did you say you were going to sing? I wasn't sure. I can't remember if I heard you correctly saying that. Are you going to jump in, Alyssa?
Well, how about we finish the presentation and then we can finish off with a round of happy birthday to you.
Okay, that's a good, excellent deflection. I appreciate that very, very, very well. So Alyssa and I have many, many moons of great experiences over the years in various events, and she's always been willing to go out on a limb and have me present an event. So hopefully you'll keep doing that. So anyway, engagement technology now more than ever. Again, my name is Jack York. I'm one of the founders of a company called IN2L. And our mission and our passion from day one, and day one for us is all of a sudden 21 years ago, but our passion has always been just trying to look at ways to connect older adults living in senior living communities, particularly folks dealing with any kind of physical or cognitive issues. And it's not quite this black and white, but over the years, a lot of times people have kind of looked at what we do is really almost somewhat of a novelty. And all of a sudden with what's happened with the pandemic is all of a sudden it's not a novelty anymore. It's a reality that our people are going to have to deal with, and I'll talk towards the end of the presentation about that. That it's not going away. I think it's going to become mandated from a skilled standpoint, and it's going to be, I think, demanded from a marketing standpoint in other environments. But at the end of the day, what we've always believed, and this has nothing to do with the pandemic, and that is that a lot of what we're talking about, it frankly has nothing to do with aging. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter whether you're dealing with some kind of dementia, whatever that your own situation is. You want to be relevant, and you want to be connected to your family, and you want to be connected to what's meaningful to you. And that's what I think this webinar is all about, is just looking at things that are out there. Some of them have always been out there, and some of them are really new from just over the last few months. And it's fascinating to try and sift through all that to figure out how to, you know, just how to make it all come together in a way that makes sense for your staff and your residents. Yeah, a lot of this research was coming out before the pandemic, and that is, I think it's a kind of intuitive that there would be some health issues tied to isolation, but I think most people would think of it in terms of probably just depression. But the reality is that a whole lot of research is showing that the isolation is leading to just kind of the common pratfalls that communities have to deal with and residents have to deal with, as far as sleep issues, just cognitive decline, falls, depression, all these things. It really is a prevalent issue. And I think, you know, my own opinion is that the pandemic has just kind of brought to the forefront a lot of these things that were already there and already happening. So that being said, it's really dependent on organizations to create the connections, it's a combination of create the connections individually, but it's also create an infrastructure and just a thought process that has these connections be at the forefront of a lot of how you're doing business right now. And I'm going to talk most of the webinars about technology types of solutions. I'm going to be talking about some things that are not quite as high tech, because obviously there's some communities that don't have the same infrastructure and maybe haven't invested in some of these things. And so they're trying to figure out how to do it without a lot of technology. So I'll talk a little bit about that midway through the presentation. But you know, along those lines, phone calls are certainly something that people that don't have a lot of technology are taking advantage of consistently, and whether it's to families, whether it's to residents, this needs to be prescriptive to make sure people aren't being left out. But if you do have access to technology, there's all kinds of things that are out there. And I think we're all learning to use them, not only from a resident engagement standpoint, but just from our own personal lives. We have about 80 employees and 50 of them here in Denver. I'm here in the office today because I got a better connection. There's one other person here in the office, and everyone's figuring out how to work. It's a different world in a lot of different ways. Some of it is tragic, but some of it is kind of cool, the way some things that are coming out of it. So there's lots and lots of ways to connect. There's pros and cons to a lot of these different solutions that are out there. This is a good webinar today on Zoom, but I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about some of the more technology-driven questions and such, but I really encourage folks to email me, and if you want to have any connections or any conversations, both about maybe things that you have questions about, but also I really love to hear what people are doing from a technology standpoint, what's working and what's not working. There's lots of pictures and videos of these video chats happening. I like this one video that I show just because it's fun seeing a mom still being a mom. This is using our IN2L system, but obviously lots of ways to do this.
Bye, bye, mom.
Bye, love you. Love you, my sweethearts. Oh, yes, I do. I do. I love you very much. And when I see you, whoa.
Yeah. We see you. We love you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Okay. Behave yourselves.
I like that clip. Behave yourself. Mom still being mom. That's pretty good stuff.
Bye, mom.
So it's easy to forget. I think there's such an emphasis, rightfully so, on how do you keep people connected and talking to their family. But it's easy to forget exercise right now, especially with so many people isolated in their room. I know that every state and every community kind of has their own philosophy on what to do with group programming. We are seeing with our technology, a lot of people starting to open up small groups, 4, 5, 6 people. This picture does a good job of showing that people are appropriately distanced from each other and still able to be getting some exercise. For people that are in their room and can't get out, if they do have access to technology, there is all kinds of really cool live streams and different kind of exercises. And we'll all, at the end of the, in the, throughout the presentation, I'm going to talk about different links that highlight some of these things. So we'll see that as we go forward. We've also seen a lot of communities, also some pictures later of things that communities are doing down doorways and hallways, and there's just creativity galore out there, and it's fun to be able to look at it and see what's working in different parts of the country. This is a good example of that we're one of our great partners is a life plan community in California called Front Porch. And when I first, you know, I'm somewhat of a technology person. And when I hear about lives before the pandemic, when I heard about live streamed events, I assumed it was a fairly complicated process to go through, but it really isn't. And we'll be sending this presentation out later. And again, as I said before, if anybody has any specific questions about some of the technology pieces, just email me and I'll get a dialogue going. But it really is not that difficult to set up a live stream. And the picture you're looking at is an example of something 100% resident driven by Front Porch. The gentleman in the top center, his name is Jack Cumming. He's a good friend of mine, and we're always bouncing ideas off of each other. And what he set up was a live stream event for the 60 or so residents at his community in La Jolla. And what he does is 3 o'clock every afternoon, this live stream event just pops up to the elders, the other elders in the community, and they're different days. They'll have different thematic discussions. It may be something about politics. It may be something about whatever connections are going on, whatever. There's no limit to what they talk about. They have it kind of scripted out a little bit. But Jack said that some days there's 7 to 10 people, and some days almost the whole community. And it was completely resident driven. And I think that there's been such an emphasis trying to figure out, and again, gut-wrenching stories of when residents are not able to connect with their family members. But I think a lot of what's happened, and hopefully this is getting a little bit better as the weeks go by, but I know that a lot of what was missing, as well as the family connection, was just the resident connection. You know, maybe the four ladies that got together at 2:30 every afternoon just to catch up, and looking at ways to have the technology and the connection not just be an external to family, but internal to resident. And again, it's like I said, it's much easier to set up live stream events than most people would imagine. And from the user standpoint, they're just clicking and they're watching without having to go through a very detailed signup process. So that's one example of cool things that we've seen. This is kind of a fun clip. This is from actually 2 or 3 years ago, well before the pandemic, but it's a grandmother and grandfather, and she has macular degeneration, so she likes to be able to have these experiences where she's got access to a larger screen. And what is, I'll play this clip in a second, but what it is her, the couple is in Colorado, their grandson is in California, and the teacher from the grammar school teacher in California was sending to the community the lesson plan every week. And so every week they get together with their grandson, and I'll play a few seconds of this clip, and just do homework together.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was ripping on the cat's ear.
It is 6 marshmallows, 2 ice cookies, 5 lemons.
So what, you know, again, what a cool thing to do. And what we've had some of our customers do is set up where they really like to have the larger screen experience. They'll set up a room and, you know, do all the appropriate disinfecting of it and hygiene and all that, but then they'll set up specific times to have these kinds of chats with family members, with friends, with whoever, and then they can do it in a room where they see it and everything's a lot larger and just more experiential. So lots of creative ways we see people using our technology and technology in general, but it's really, it's cool to look at things like this that are just about, I think, as much as anything else, just trying to bring a sense of normalcy to interactions that are hard to have normal right now in the midst of everything that's going on. So I'm gonna spend the next few minutes just talking about cognitive activities, maybe the wrong way to phrase it. It's more just curiosity and learning is probably better. And there just is so much content out there. And I think it may be obvious to a lot of us, but to a lot of residents that obviously there's such a wide range of technology savviness from your residents and tied to the different areas of care where they are within the community. But I'm just going to go through a few things topically. So travel, it's what's intuitive to us, just make sure it's intuitive to your residents, just the ability, whether it's YouTube searching or whatever, to be able to find all kinds of travel experiences all over the place. What we do as IN2O with our travel is that everything gets broken down into those sections that you're looking at right there. And we like having our content be vetted for just for different levels of cognition. I never like saying it that way, but just that if folks are in maybe a later stage of dementia, it's much more relevant for them to be able to get something experiential, slideshows and musics and such, whereas some of the residents may like the trivia and quizzes and recipes and things like that. But you don't need us for a lot of this stuff. There's really cool content that's out there. The Rick Steve Europe videos are a great way to go all through Europe and feel like in these 20 to 30 minute segments, like you're really, really there. So it's very cool to see this kind of stuff. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about virtual reality, but as virtual reality starts to come into play, that certainly opens up a really immersive experience of being in a different place, but lots of content that is out there. Moving on to spirituality, that's a whole other area where there's just so much you can tap into, both from a micro standpoint and a macro standpoint. From a micro standpoint, it's reaching out to the local houses of worship from your community. And I think you're seeing, obviously, with the inability to visit the regular mass, the regular synagogue, whatever it may be, that's been such a big issue. A lot of houses of worship were doing this beforehand, but over the last few months, they've had to go digital in a lot of different ways. And it's really helpful for some of your residents that may be familiar with this or many of them not, to let them know that, you know, the local Presbyterian church is doing some kind of live streaming or event or some kind of sermons or something that's there. It's a great way to just stay connected to those houses of worship that maybe you don't know the local pastor or whatever it may be. And it becomes a way to make a connection that you can, that can be mutually beneficial after the pandemic calms down a little bit. That's true also in a business standpoint. I'll be talking about that later in the webinar. But so that from a micro standpoint, it's reaching out to your local houses of worship and making that known to the residents how they can tap into that. And from a macro standpoint, there's just incredible amounts of content on the internet that is such an easy way to give people access to faith content that's relevant for their own beliefs, for their own denomination, whether it's non-denominational, whether it's Catholic, Jewish, whatever it may be. I grew up Catholic and my mom would say the rosary a couple times a week. And so that whole rosary website that lets you pick different levels of, it's fascinating just to go onto some of these sites and see what's out there. But there's also Our Daily Bread has different sermons from different denominations. And there's a lot of sites out there that are just much more just inspirational rather than trying to tie to a specific affiliation. But you really can, it's easy to do if you have IN2L. We already have it on there if you have it and not familiar with it. But we break down our content by denominations to be able to have these different experiences via denomination. But it's not that hard to do it too if you would just want to grab links and link them together and put that together. And like I said, a lot of the local houses of worship can help you with some of those things. One of the one of the silver lining things, again, from the whole pandemic, a lot of organizations that historically have been very reluctant to share their content without people paying for it or without them having to go through a really arduous sign-up process has been museums and been... I have a listing here. I think I forgot to say this before, but a lot of the websites that I'll be showing you during this presentation, I'll be sending to each one of your state folks the links to all these things. So you'll get, by the end of the day today, I'll have that out to everybody. So don't feel like you have to write all these things down. You'll get a follow-up email that has it all spelled out. But it really is fascinating to look at these museums and see some of the way they lay their content out. The Louvre is phenomenal. And I haven't looked at these things for years or if ever. And some of these things I've been kind of going out of my way to look at it and just see what the quality's like. And it's fast. You can get lost in this stuff. And it's great to make your residents aware of it. So in addition to the museums, there's, or to that kind of those kinds of experiences, there's kind of the more the games. Gaming is such a popular thing to do that can be done individually or with groups. One of the unique things for me personally that's come out of the pandemic is I have three kids all in their 20s. They all live in different states. And twice a week, we're getting together virtually. Once it's just a Zoom call where we're catching up with each other for 30 minutes or so. And then we play a game, a board game together remotely. And then we're having a conversation while we're playing. And, you know, obviously it's not the same as being there, but it's really been a cool experience for me. And it's just a way to stay connected with the kids. And again, some things like that have come out of the pandemic, there's no reason for that to change after things calm down, whenever that is and whatever that looks like. But there really is the gaming piece is a great way to keep people connected. My parents were huge bridge players when they were when I was young, and just having some camaraderie through gaming is a big deal. And we like the ability with some of the tools we have and people we partnered with to be able to have those things play at different levels, so you don't feel like you're either overwhelmed or it's too easy. I don't know about all of you, but I personally have, I kind of burn out after about 15 minutes of cable news these days, regardless of anyone's political affiliation. So we love, and we've heard stories of how residents are really stressed out following the news and just seeing some of the things that are happening. So, you know, not to be the moralistic about it or judgmental about it, but we do like to recommend sending people to things like this Good News Network. That is a great place to get nothing but good news, things that you don't see on traditional media, but there really is cool things that are happening with the pandemic, with senior living communities, with people going above and beyond. It's very invigorating to read that stuff and not get caught up in some of the things that are not so fun that are going on. Again, my mom, I keep bringing up my mom, but she loved to read Dear Abby newspaper columns. When I was a kid, I just remember watching mom being immersed in all that stuff. And there's great Dear Abby websites. There's great Paul Harvey links to the rest of the story. You know, things that make people feel, it's like comfort food electronically. To be able to give people things that they kind of grew up with and had a positive experience with. And it's all there. It's all there to be able to be had. We've had just incredible stories over the last decade with IN2L of how people using our platform have launched in Google Earth experiences. And I'm sure most of you know Google Earth, but if you don't, you simply type in an address, really anywhere in the world, and you feel like an astronaut, that you kind of zoom in on the Earth and you zoom in to whatever address you put in. You can scroll around and manipulate the screen and see pictures from different angles and such, but it just blows people away who haven't used it before to be able to Google Earth and see the farm they grew up on or the church they used to go to or whatever it may be. They think it's magic, and it's cool to see how beneficial something like that is when you are looking for something to kind of keep you feeling, getting you in a better place. So lots of tools like that. When it comes to more traditional cognitive activities, things that are tied to brain fitness, lots and lots of options out there. Luminosity is a great site. The Posit Science is a great site. There's things kind of popping up left and right. We as IN2L have partnered with a company called Happy Neuron that you can either access through our platform or through them directly. But as I said before, what I love about their type of experience is that you can choose a level of difficulty. Every game they have is from 1 to 10. And so it's kind of an art. It's something that we've tried to do within our company's culture, is there's an art to make something easy without making it demeaning. And I think that's what a lot of these games do a good job of, that you may want to have, if you're putting a puzzle together, just have 4, 6, 8 squares as opposed to 68. And these kind of tools let you do that. So as I was talking before about the games, it's great that a lot of things you can do individually and a lot of things that you can do online, hooking up with other people to be able to just stay connected in that context. It's tricky to figure out if you don't have a lot of technology and you don't have an infrastructure in place. Maybe you have a couple of computers in central areas, but you're not doing a lot of group programming right now. It's difficult, but I did want to spend a few minutes talking about a couple of things we've seen creative people do through the pandemic. And some of you may already be doing that, but what we've seen a lot of communities do is put together daily newsletters, and they distribute them early in the morning, either handing them directly to the resident, putting it under their door, whatever the way that fits within your own kind of social isolation rules that you're putting in place. But what's cool about these newsletters is that they give you a chance to kind of give a daily update of what's going on from a community standpoint, from a higher level standpoint, whether it's from the ED or the administrator or the CEO or the activity professional, whatever it may be, a message. But then you can tie in experiential things to do just on the newsletter itself. Maybe it's a crossword puzzle. Maybe it's a puzzle. Maybe it's some trivia questions, whatever it may be. And how that's been beneficial is obviously it gives the person something to do, but if you make it worth the resident's while, either through contests or acknowledgement or whatever, to turn the newsletters back at the end of the day with the games and puzzles filled out, then it's a cool thing to recognize your residents for doing that. But it's also a way to stay on just in touch with the people who may be really having a hard time with isolation and not willing to, they're not participating. And it's just a way to kind of monitor that, not in a research way, but just in kind of an experiential way. So I think that it's a great opportunity to kind of get the word out consistently. We see a lot of people doing that. And again, I don't want to go into detail about newsletter software, but if anybody has any questions, let me know. And in that case, it's more that I'd refer you to people that I know are doing a good job with it. But it's a great idea as an example of something to do for folks that don't have easy access to technology. And again, there, as I was saying before, within that same connection, there's brain teasers and daily devotionals and inspirational quotes and thoughts of the day. All that stuff can be part of your newsletter. And we're also seeing that within rooms, people coming in and, being positive about hand washing and setting up video chats. There's no list of the things you can do. It's difficult to manage it, and it's a lot of people time management issues to sort out, but the context is there, especially if you've got some kind of technology as a backbone. We have seen people get creative with hallway activities. The picture on the top here, it's kind of hard to tell, but they're actually residents fishing. That they are, what they do is they just take that plastic sheet and just roll it in front of four rooms, have people do something. They're fishing for a half hour, then they roll it in front of four other rooms. So, you know, to some people, it's kind of silly, and to some people, it's something fun to do. The bottom picture, we've seen a lot of our customers use our technology that way. We've got great, our systems are portable, and they've got big booming speakers. So you can put them at the end of the hallway and do, whether it's karaoke or hymns or a short book of the day, or just let people, they can just kind of get out of their room and participate in something in the hallway. And it, I don't know if somebody in our team coined this or somebody else did, but we did, we have had people say they're quarantining, which is, I guess, pandemic karaoke, but it's been cool to see our systems being used in that context. So as I was saying before, lots and lots of resources. I'll skip over this pretty quickly. A lot of the resources are geared towards staff, and a lot of the resources are geared towards residents. And you'll be getting a sheet that has all these things on it, but it really is cool, some of the things that are out there for residents. And again, these are examples of things that historically you'd have to pay for, or like I said, you'd have to sign up for some long all kinds of data, and people are just making it available, really easy to get to. And so it's nice to see companies kind of stepping up to do these kinds of things. Spanish movies, French movies, Italian movies. I did a couple of the virtual field trips and had that sense of being 10 years old again, getting on a bus and knowing you had a day of no school. So a virtual field trip is more relevant now than it's probably ever been before. And so just a little bit of a deeper dive into one site here. Kay Van Norman's a good friend of mine, and she works in Montana, and she has done a really good job of putting together content that's especially relevant for people living in rural areas, and a lot of it tied to physical activities and experiences. So again, this is just the kind of thing that's out there that's free now that a few months ago would cost you something. So we've tried to do our part in this, that if you're a subscriber of IN2L and have some of our technology, you always have access to a lot of these resources. And a lot of the resources are tied to our technology, but a lot of them aren't. And so what we did is we went through all of our content and kind of siphoned out what are some of the printable games and puzzles and activities and experiences, and make that available for anybody. And so if you are putting together a newsletter, it's a great way to just kind of copy and paste the what's the puzzle of the day, or what's the trivia quiz of the day, or whatever it may be, without having to go buy that kind of stuff or look for it. So lots of good content that we have that's free and available through that link, and that'll also be listed on the sheet that I send out later in the afternoon. And then, so that's kind of what we're doing. And then it's really been cool to see what organizations are doing around the country. There's so many things to choose from. I'm just gonna highlight a few things that I've seen around the country the last 3 weeks that have been interesting. Tried to focus on different leading age members. This is a community in Christian Living Communities in out here in Denver that doing a just formal socially distant exercising outside of their building, and they do it next to the building so that the people that want to stay in their rooms can go out on their balconies. I'm sure a lot of you are doing things like this. We're seeing this is at a community in Virginia where they have a clarinet concert, and you can see all the residents are appropriately socially distanced and listening to one of their residents put on a show. the technology stuff has just been so cool, and we're delighted to be in the thick of that. I'll talk in a minute about some of the things that we're doing. This is also at a community in Virginia, so it's great having the Zoom birthday party for this resident. I like in this picture too that he's got Motor Trend magazine on his desk as well. So it's just cool about so many residents is the different interests and things they have, and making ways to get it to them through all of the pandemic. I love this picture. This is a woman from New Jersey, and her name's Lisa Wilkerson, and I just love this exuberance. She's singing. She's just out doing her own activity, singing to the residents. Usually they see her every day, and now she's having to socially distance. So it doesn't have to be somebody in your activity world. Maybe you've got somebody in dining, a social worker, a maintenance person. You know there's people that got some chops that take advantage of the in-house talent you have and give them a chance to shine in front of your residents. This is a community in Nebraska that has done really interesting things. For Cinco de Mayo, they had that golf cart, and then there's about 40 residents trailing behind. We didn't have any waivers, so we didn't show the picture of the parade, but that was pretty cool. They also did, I thought this was so creative, for Mother's Day, rather than sit and wait for cards and letters to get mailed to the community for Mother's Day, they had all their mothers that were interested, and it turned out that almost all of them were, about 2 weeks before Mother's Day, they started working on something that they could make to send to their own kids. So the community did the labor of mailing everything out and getting the addresses and all that kind of stuff. But the mothers all made something, and what a cool thing that not only for the kids that are getting something from their mom, but just as a relevant experience for the women in the community that are, you know, maybe looking for something to do that's meaningful, and there it is right there. So again, such creativity. They also have very much immersed in our tablets. The lady on the right, I didn't realize she's totally color coordinated with her mask, her shirt, and our tablet. So that's pretty cool. And then Emmanuel is right in the middle of Nebraska. They've got a bunch of communities and farm areas. And I'll get to that in a second. But I did want to make a local shout out to Mary Wade in Connecticut. David Hunter's been a great friend of mine for so many, many years. We love how much they've embraced IN2L. This is a couple of pictures of them using IN2L in the COVID environment. And I also, they had this concert that they put together with local students. Hopefully this link, I'll try to open up this link real quick. But there, if you're ever looking for some creativity from a community, just go on to the Mary Wade Facebook. Back to the presentation. It's also a time where you're able to reach out creatively to vendor partners as well. So I'll talk about this for a minute. That Morrison, and some of you may have Morrison as your dining vendor, but in Colorado, they partnered with the community to do a virtual cooking series for the residents. And again, just great creativity from the folks that are already your vendors. And there's the horse picture I was looking for. I got the order mixed up. That was from Emmanuel in Omaha, that they had horses, virtual horses that are in the community going out to say hello to the residents. And I realize with the reflection in the picture, that maybe is a bit of a horse exploitation, but they just had the coolest thing, the coolest comments they made about how the residents reacted to having a horse come up to their window. So anyway, back to these creative partnerships that I was talking about. It's a unique opportunity, I mean, everything does have a silver lining. There's a unique opportunity to reach out to people you haven't reached out to before. I brought up the example before of reaching out to local houses of worship to partner with the folks there in your community. This is more of a business context, and I really like this story that this is from a leading age life plan community in Oregon, where the local vendor had to close her store because of COVID, but she reached out to Willamette View and they put a program together where she did a Zoom from her store, the back of her store. They actually make the chocolate. So from the back of her store, she did a Zoom chat showing how chocolate was made. And they had this all pre-planned in advance that once the Zoom chat was over, anybody that watched it, the staff delivered, it wound up being 45 residents that participated, but they reached out and they delivered the chocolate that had been made at this community. And it's cool, because I was talking to the ED at the community, and she said that, you know, they have a relationship now with this chocolate lady that they never had before, and she's gonna help sponsor things. She wasn't aware of the community, they weren't aware of her. So I think that there really is a lot of opportunities right now to reach out uniquely. And that kind of lends itself to my next comment, which some people may agree with, some people not, but I certainly have seen plenty of examples of this, is that it's a moment where the whole world of senior living is under a microscope. And for the most part, that microscope hasn't been positive, especially from a nursing home standpoint. It's been talking about the really tough things that have been going on, and it can, again, paint another negative stereotype of what goes on in senior living. But what I've seen many organizations do is when they see a story that's negative, rather than reach out to the media outlet and complain about it, they will reach out and say, hey, let me tell you what we're doing. And let me tell you kind of the other side of some of the things that we're dealing with. And for the folks that I had informally polled about that, there was about 75% of them said that people came out and did a story. I mean, there just is such incredible work being done. We're part of a program called Project Vital in Florida. And I'll talk about it a little bit at the end of the webinar, but it's been an opportunity for us to deliver tablets to several hundred communities in Florida that was funded through the CARES Act. And we've had remarkable outcomes. And we've had over 30 different media stories from combining newspaper coverage to a local television story. So the technology is a great way to push media as just a creative way to be linking folks. So it really is a time to shine right now. And I think there's ways to do it that are pretty positive. So just wrapping up real quick, I just wanted to, a little bit about IN2L is that historically we put together group engagement, group activity programming or therapy programming delivered through different vehicles. Those are 70 and 50 inch portable touchscreen televisions. We also wall mount things if you don't want to have it be portable. And so our experiences have historically been designed more for group context, but we've had such a demand in the last 4 months for what are creative ways to get our individual tablet out to people. And the tablets that we've developed are really designed for somebody to kind of take room to room. And if you look at that picture on the left, every resident has their own picture, their own icon. It's all password protected. But when you touch the icon, it just opens up to that person's experience. So what the content that Barbara likes is totally different than the content that Bill likes. And it's easy for family members to be sending in pictures, very easy video chat to be you. If you have the tablet, you simply dial a phone number of a person's cell phone, and the person with the cell phone gets a text, they touch the link and they're talking to their mom or dad. So it's really been cool for us to see some of those things happening in our own kind of evolution through the pandemic, is really focusing on the individual isolation and our individual ways to get content for people. And so through all that, we've really seen a lot of creative funding options pop up. I mean, so many of you are struggling with all the financial demands of PPE equipment and just everything that is a budget hit, census issues, all that kind of stuff. So it's really been, the flip side of that is when it comes to technology, there really has been a handful of grants and opportunities that are out there. Michelle Rockins, our regional sales manager, she can help you if you want to know about us through all these things. She'll help you either way, but you don't need to have, these are not IN2L initiatives. They're just things that are out there. The usual CMP process is very cumbersome, but they put together a really easy to fill out grant that lets communities get, it's kind of a ratio of one tablet per 7 to 10 residents in a SNF community. It's got to be skilled. It has to accept some kind of Medicaid, but you can get up to $3,000 to buy whatever tablet you like through the grant. We've had hundreds of tablets that we've been able to deliver through that program, so it's been great. We've also been, it's a time when we're seeing all over the country, I don't want to speak for your states, but we're seeing all over the country foundations that have historically been maybe not as enthused about or just not got involved with senior living projects. People are seeing the horrible issues of isolation, and we've seen a lot of funding open up through foundations that normally haven't done that. And again, that Project Vital in Florida that we were a part of has been a great partnership between the state, the Alzheimer's Association, and IN2L. And through that, we've been able to deliver tablets. I got a couple of good pictures. So we're excited to see people using our technology through this. The tablets, this is from that Project Vital that has been in less than a month. With 300 tablets, we've had over 3,500 video chats. We track all that so you can see how it's being used. It's been so cool just to see people stand connected. Like I said, it's heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time. So anyway, just wrapping things up, we'll leave a couple minutes for questions. But I just think that the issue of isolation is not going away. I just think you have no choice but to be investing in different types of technology to deal with it. I think that there's certainly plenty of acknowledgments that I think on the SNF side thing, there's gonna start to be regulatory demands for it. And from a marketing standpoint, I think families are just gonna start demanding, even when things open up a little bit through this pandemic, it's gonna be in the back of everybody's mind, what if something like this happens again? And you've gotta be able to show technology solutions for people to stay connected to their parents and grandparents. So it has obviously been tragic on so many ways, but there have been, if you look for them, there's been positive things that have come out of it. We're all operating differently as our own entities. And as I said, to kick things off, just a huge thanks. And thank you to all the folks of what you guys are doing. It really has been an honor just to be a part of this profession, to see what people are doing, and it's been very rewarding for us to be able to have a solution that is relevant. So that's all I got. Oh, look at that. I see a whole slew of people. I feel like I'm in class right now. So if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer.
And just a reminder, you'll need to unmute yourself if you have a question. You can do that by clicking the microphone icon or by pressing *6 on your phone.
What about training for these tablets? Do they come with training if you get the grant?
Yeah, you know, I'm always, in these webinars, I'm trying to be non-judgmental, but I think that there's been so many grants that are just out there making tablets available for the sake of tablets available. And our whole model from day one, and you know, not to be hyping IN2L, but our model is all about the minute you get a tablet, there's a whole training program set up and constant tech support. Because it is, to be honest, it's difficult to set up a Skype chat. It's difficult to do this stuff. And if you're not training people, It's crazy. And the other thing that I think is crazy is there's no tracking. You know, we love that we can, for this project we've done in Florida, 600 tablets, we can tell you exactly how many minutes each tablet has been used. If it's lost, we can tell you where it is once it gets online, and you're able to find out if people are using it or not. So I just think, you know, I love the concept of some of these programs, but I think there's got to be a little teeth behind them to deal with an incredibly stressed out staff that doesn't want to become a technology expert. They're just trying to keep people connected. So thank you for asking that question, though. So, and I saw the chat. Thank you. I got a couple of happy birthdays. So thank you for my happy birthdays. That does not get Alyssa off from singing later as we wrap up.
I have one question.
Sure.
I'm just curious about the stations you have for the PCs.
I'm sorry, I was having trouble. Can you talk a little bit louder?
I apologize. I have some questions. Do you provide those stations for the desktop units or laptops?
Yeah, what we'll do is I'll send a follow-up email that's got the all the handout, the links and such. We'll copy Michelle on that, but we put together kind of a whole different types of packages, everything from big touchscreen televisions to a 23-inch portable system. And I, again, I feel I'm always a little reluctant to be too salesy on the webinar, but we'll make an, I'm assuming, maybe Lisa, you can speak for the group. If I get this out to all of your states, you guys will get them out to everybody on the webinar?
Sure, yeah, we'll make them available if you can send us the information, Jack.
Yeah, I'll get, but within the hour, because Alyssa, you know, I'm doing this afternoon for my birthday. I'm taking Lucky to the lake. I'm going to shut down after this is over. You know, Alyssa knows my dog Lucky, so I'm going to, but I'll get this out before I go. And then again, we'd love to have discussions with you about what we do, but it's better one-on-one.
Okay. At this time, we use iPads across the board. We have 18 iPads dedicated for, you know, resident virtual communication. And we use
is it working well? I mean, how are you?
Absolutely. I also have these adapters, so you can plug the, you know, your iPhone or iPad into the TV to make the screen larger for the resident. Because a lot of people, you know, majority of people use FaceTime or IMO or WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So I use the adapter, and I get the iPads with Verizon service. So those have been extremely helpful because.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
At any time we can.
That's really cool. I just think it's a level. There's different levels of technical savviness that communities have, and again, it's good to weigh different options. But like I said, you got to do something. You can't just sit and think that this is going to be a storm that blows over. It's here forever. I think this whole issue of engagement, and that's a good thing.
No, yeah, I'm just looking for ways we could possibly improve. I do like the stations that I saw.
Right.
Those were a nice plus. I like the larger screen size readily available. I mean, the iPads help for if you have a, you know, especially in a SNF facility where, you know, somebody may be in bed more often, so we can plug directly into their TV. But for other residents that are out and about, you know, carts there, the cows, whatever you may call them, you know, seem that they'd be a good solution, especially to keep resident and family, you know, communication open and going. So, but again, like you said, the only other issue is getting staff to be able to facilitate, you know, you can give them all the technology in the world, but if the staff isn't able to, you know, use it properly, you know, it creates difficulties.
Yeah, that's great. All right, thanks, Ryan. Anybody else have the nerve to open themselves up?
Hey, Jack, it's Andrew. One of the comments in the chat is someone wants to know if you're going to actually send out the slides. I know you said you're going to send out the resources.
I looked at the chat real quick, and I noticed, I thought you were going to make reference to someone telling me I look like Ted Danson. So, Yeah, I'll email. Well, I'll put the follow-up email that has the link to the slides, as well as the I'm just laughing at the Ted Danson thing. I will send you the link of the presentation as well as the PDF of the free sites. But I do, you know, I do look into those comments too. I feel kind of the same way. I think that it's nice to have something that's positive, and it's not to diminish the tough stuff going on, but it's you want to smile at the same time, and your residents want to smile, and so it's cool, the things that are out there, and it's remarkable when you expose people to some of these things they haven't been exposed to before, the outcomes that you can get.
So any other questions for Jack, or anybody even willing to share anything cool with kind of technology that they're doing? I know we have a lot of really creative member communities out there.
Yeah, you got the whole, you know, the whole MIT world and all, you know, all the, you got it all there.
Well, Jack, want to thank you so much. I know you've obviously been talking about this for years, and you know, helping everybody think about the importance of engagement and using technology to facilitate that. And I think obviously it's clear now more than ever. You know, it's something that's really helping to keep people engaged and you know, thriving really in these really challenging times. So you know, thank you for sharing all this information with us. So I'm happy to lead Jack and lead everybody in a happy birthday. You have to unmute yourselves, and I just will, you know, unfortunately, see, this is now I'm feeling very insecure. Jack's daughter is a singing phenom. She was actually a finalist on American Idol. So I'm gonna, you know, put myself to shame here, but I'm gonna looking for everybody.
You know, it's funny too. I'll send the, in this follow-up email I send, I'll send the link, a couple links to her singing. But she's done like four different associations. She's done virtual song things. So it's I'm like her, I'm her agent for living. So we could talk about that later.
All right, ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jack. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that sounded like pentatonics. That was just so seamless. Ah, oh, that was awesome. Thank you, Alyssa. You've just ensured next year's sponsorship again by going through all that. So.
All right. Well, all thanks right. again, Jack, and thanks okay. again to everybody for being here. We'll look forward to sending the information out, and stay safe, everyone.
Yeah. Right. And Alyssa, I did just put into the chat, some of my members from Maine and New Hampshire jumped on just by way of Zoom without going through the registration process on your website. So if anyone else was in that boat where you got in direct through Zoom versus having gone through the Leading Age Massachusetts website, please put your email in there, and I'll save that chat and make sure that you get the slides directly.
Great. And thank you to Andrea, Leading Age Connecticut, Lisa, Leading Age Maine and New Hampshire, and Leading Age Rhode Island for putting all this together. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, and Lisa, everyone. Lisa, for doing all the work. I'll say one last thing real quick. It was hilarious last week. I won't say what state, but they didn't know how to do this stuff. And they had one of the attendees was putting her makeup on, and everyone was watching, and she had no idea. So Lisa knows how to manage a mute and unmute and unvideo. So you did a great job.
Oh, no credit for me. That's Lynn.
I think Lynn. Yeah.
Lynn. I'm sorry, Lynn. I said the wrong thing. just when I was going so well, you know. Sorry about that, Lynn. Okay.
Thanks, everyone. Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.